of this nation has
there are four
been
essential economic freedoms.
The excessive decline in the dollar,
lack of a better word.
The late rally on Wall Street
is too big to fail.
Growing the economy.
Welcome.
This is Money Talks.
Good morning. You're listening to Money Talks, Atlanta's longest running, most respected money show on the radio. I'm Troy Harmon, your host. I'm here with DJ Barker.
Hello.
Who's a financial planner, a managing associate in our financial planning and implementation department, along with Jarrett McKenzie.
Oh, I thought something better was coming than that, Troy. You really teed it up.
Hey, man.
For all you listeners in Paulding County.
Well, I appreciate the introduction.
Jarrett, you know we love to pick on you. It's only because you're such a good sport about it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say market predictor.
Oh, come on, man. Last time you were on the show, it's been a couple of weeks ago. You said what?
I said it was going up.
Yeah, okay, well, it didn't. But
that's what I'm saying.
You know. And this week, we actually do have the market up, so we can only assume what you said last time.
A week away.
There we go. 0.5% in the last week. not a bad deal. Market had a day off last Friday.
Well, everybody deserves a day off, you know.
Once in a while.
Yep.
Once in a while.
Cool down.
Take a break every now
and
then.
Exactly.
Sure. Why not? Information technology is the leader over the week, 1.5%. We do have an ugly laggard. For the week, energy has lost over 3%. It's been kind of rough in the oil patch.
We've seen that. What's been driving that, you think?
Well, part of it, I think, is maybe interest rate related. But the biggest thing is, you know, it's always supply.
Right.
So, you know, from middle ways through 2014, through early 2016, we had Saudi Arabia that drove supply through the roof, and the price reacted negatively on that. Now OPEC is trying to be a little better about the supply. The price is more attractive, but they have absolutely no control over the folks in the Bakken Shale. So the domestic United States producers are doing what they do. And, you know, as long as it's profitable for them, I guess, they don't listen to a cartel. They're supplying the market with a commodity that they can produce. And that's the most profitable piece in, you know,
sure.
E&P, they call it. Exploration and production of oil is the most productive or most profitable piece in our domestic oil company, just about any oil company drawing raw material out of the ground, you know, is the way they do it. They found out very, very well what their profitability point, their break-even point is on crude oil during that time that we talked about between mid-14 and early 2016. So anytime the price gets above that, it's easy for those producers to strike a new well and draw some profit out of the ground. So it's all about the supply, mostly.
Yeah.
So where does that leave us for the year? Just like for the week, information technology is leading. Tech is up 12% year-to-date.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't participate as much in the early rally after the election, but they surely have caught up since then. And if you look, financials that had been burning it up early after the election are only up 0.5% year-to-date.
You know, I saw earlier the international piece seems to have had a pretty good run this year so far. I know that's not shown in what we're looking at, but that seems to, especially the ETF that we use to gain the international exposures,
right,
doing pretty well, right? I mean, is that kind of turning around from where it was, you know, obviously the big downturn by the end of 2015?
Absolutely, yeah. We have watched, I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head, but I know it. One point just in the last couple of weeks, I looked, it was about 9% higher year to date. And international stocks are playing a little bit of catch up. What you saw in 2016 was finally you had the European Central Bank come out and do a little bit of quantitative easing that we thought you know, was probably smart. They were way late. We started that in 2010, I think it was, trying to basically what that is the central bank taking currency and converting it into bonds. So basically they're buying bonds, especially on the long end of the yield curve, those maturities 20 years and longer, to try to drive down interest rates. Obviously low interest rates benefit corporations who have to source capital in order to run their operations. It's usually done with debt, quite often short term, but you know, as often they'll borrow long term. So it lowers their cost of capital and makes them more profitable.
9%, that's pretty good. It'd have them on number two on this list, right? Just under the tech.
Yeah, one thing that I don't have on the list as well, gold has done quite well this year as well. I think I looked last week, it was up a little over 8% year to date. So that too is it's
pressure gold on the dollar, you think?
It is. Mm-hmm. Gold is generally traded like a currency. So, it's sourced in dollars. It's a heads up against the dollar when the dollar's weak. Gold prices increase. It's not the only thing that drives gold prices, but it is pretty easy to watch.
I thought the dollar was doing, it was pretty strong this year. I mean, is that just relative to other currencies, or is
it
that?
It's been strong over the last couple of years, and everything is a relative game in currency. So,
right.
When the dollar loses strength relative to other currencies, it also loses strength relative to gold, which means that gold price goes higher.
Sure.
Gold also, it's not something you can take to the grocery store and spend, but it's considered a store of value. When you see recessions, the price often spikes higher.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that probably is just what we expect. It's our expectations. Used to be that in order for the Federal Reserve to print more money, they had to have backing at least a percentage in gold. When they did away with that and we just have a fiat currency, it's still expected that gold gets more precious when recessions hit.
Well, now that's not a prediction, is it?
No. No, not absolutely not. I'm not
leading.
Just telling you when it happens.
Okay.
Not it is going to happen.
I'm just making sure. If it's on a run, you scare me a little bit. I need to change the conversation I'm having with my clients.
I would not call it on a run. Jared.
Well, hey, 8%. That's not bad. That'd be at the top of
this
list.
Ladies and gentlemen, you get messed with
the last time Jared will be on the radio. This is the final show for him.
It's been great.
It's been a good run.
Shoot Jared an email and say your farewells. All right, guys. The economic news this week, consumer price index. This was it's kind of a big deal. CPI prices fell 0.3% in March, following a slight gain, 0.1% in February. So even the core CPI was down, but it was down by less, 0.1%. We did not expect to see deflation, but that's what this indicates, that usually when the economy's strong, growth's out there, it forces prices higher. When you see CPI fall, it's generally a sign of weakness, and that's what we would take it as here. It did tend to move interest rates during the week. If you look, some of the other, we didn't get into it that deep, but over the week, it wasn't as bad as I thought, but utilities are actually negative. So we did see it move last week.
You think that's going to deter the Federal Reserve's intentions for the year then? I mean, obviously they probably weren't expecting that either. I mean,
they have a longer term,
outlook.
Outlook, whatever you want to call it. But obviously they've been talking about, you're not going to see steady steps higher.
Mm-hmm.
I think this just adds to their confidence that they don't need to spike interest rates higher anytime soon. So, it's been forever. We got the first interest rate increase December of 2015. We got the second December of 2016. We got a third March.
Mm-hmm.
And now we see March CPIs down. So,
but weren't there intentions to continue that throughout this year? I mean,
they said three.
Yeah, three this
three
year, right?
Yeah.
Interest
rates. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you want to look what the market says, in June, just a couple of weeks ago, they were saying that we would have a probability of a hike over 50%, probably 51 or 2. Right now it's 59%. I pulled the data just before we came on the air. So, it's still looking like we've got the probability of a rate hike in June. Gets even stronger in July. It's over 60%. By September, it's 75%. So, the only difference that I see is prior to this, I was seeing a second rate increase in January of 2018 in market-related information, and I don't really see that at this point. So if we had changes, you know, that's what it is. It's the longer-term expectation, but I would still expect that we're going to get some increases at least this month. Guys, we got a lot of information. I'll tell you just straight up, most of it was negative this week. Retail sales fell 0.2%. We'll go through this quick. New residential construction, 6.8% below the revised February totals for March. You look further down, mortgage applications were actually positive, probably related to that lower interest rates that we talked about. So folks are out borrowing a little bit. Beige book, and this is usually dated news. It is this time too. Economic activity expanded modestly on a modest to moderate pace across districts. Nothing new there. It's the same language they've been having. And then jobless claims were up 10,000 to 244,000, but the longer term still looks relatively negative or relatively low, not negative. So, guys, let's break here and pay a few bills. We'll come back with Dog of the Week.
Oh, boy.
Stick around.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.